Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Dueling Tangents. No Brian this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board. Evan, how you doing today, man?
So good, dude. So yeah, good.
It's a Tuesday.
What, my face doesn't betray... No, it's so good, dude.
See, we didn't get to catch up before we hopped on air here, so we're just doing it while we're on air. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
People appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, of course. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison. I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to my voice on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. That's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, as well as locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM out of Wisconsin Rapids, also 97.5 FM up there in the Rapids. It's a Tuesday, and I'm through that long list of stations that are, you know, we're expanding here, and appreciate everybody that is tuning in. If you want to share your tangent with me, give me a call, send me a text, 844-967-2789. Evan is screening those calls and joining me for this hour. Those phone lines are open, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, in the mornings. But it's, I believe, 12 weeks from today. That is the general election. There are 12 weeks left between now and Wisconsinites going to the polls in November. And the interesting dynamic, a week ago, so 13 weeks out from the November general election, Tim Michaels won the GOP gubernatorial primary. He upset in some people's minds. I did not believe that he was going to win. So it was, I view it as an upset. He joined the race late. And he defeated former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, who was a more of a household name here in the state of Wisconsin. But doesn't hurt when you've got $12 million of your own money that you can spend. But since last week, Tuesday, Tim Michaels went MIA. Tim Michaels won the...
What are you talking about? He's back home. That's all. He's at his house. He's fine.
He's at his residence, right? He's just home. See, that was my thing, Evan. I saw this story floating around yesterday and shared it up this morning. The guy was homesick. Don't make fun of him for being homesick.
No, man,
we've all
hard.
Been there before.
You're on the road months at a time in unfamiliar places trying to pretend like you belong. It gets exhausting.
Yeah, so I that's what I contend. I contend that the guy was homesick. He just needed to go get a breath of that saltwater air from Connecticut. And he disappeared off the map here in Wisconsin for a few days. Because since last Tuesday, there was only one public appearance made by Tim Michaels running for governor. And it was last Thursday at the Wisconsin State Fair. Outside of that, his campaign social media accounts were tweeting out that he was working hard and campaigning across the state. But he himself was MIA. He missed the Lincoln-Reagan dinner here in Dane County. The Republican Party of Dane County puts on the Lincoln-Reagan dinner. It was this past Sunday evening. All of the other top-of-the-ticket individuals, the lieutenant governor candidate, Senator Ron Johnson, they were all there at this event on Sunday evening. Tim Michaels? Not there. Absent. And so begs the question, why do you think we don't know where he is now at the center of the Republican ticket? He is, in some opinions, I know there's some back and forth here. Some view the U.S. Senate race at the top of the ticket. Some view the governor's race at the top of the ticket. It's debatable. But either way, Tim Michaels is one of those two top of the ticket candidates. And he is now going to be subject to, this isn't just a primary. This isn't just him doing the ads, running primetime ad television for millions of dollars to win a primary. He's now got to put his money where his mouth is and his candidacy where his mouth is. He needs to be out there and be able to answer questions to the public. And he's disappeared off the map. And it honestly, if he didn't have this question of split residence, I don't think it would be that big of a deal.
It wouldn't be.
It wouldn't. It would be, oh, okay, so he's taking some time off. And you'd expect a statement like that to come from the campaign. The campaign would just let everybody know, let the public know that he was through. He won an extended primary. Well, not really an extended primary. He got into it late, but he won a relatively competitive primary. He did end up winning by more than 5 points, but it was seen pretty competitively, and he's taking some time to recharge his batteries before going on to the general. It's understandable, but his campaign refused to answer questions over the weekend of whether or not he himself, Tim Michaels, the candidate, was campaigning across Wisconsin. And when you don't answer the question directly, yes or no, it leaves room for speculation. So that is what we're going to do, because we got a piece over by Corinne Hess at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headlined, Wisconsin's Republican Governor Candidate Tim Michaels Noticeably Absent from Weekend Campaign Events. So Corinne goes through and talks about the aspect of the Dane County Republican Party's dinner on Sunday that Tim Michaels missed. And she goes, over the weekend, Michaels' campaign staffers tweeted that they were in Grant County, quote, fired up to take on Tony Evers and send proven leadership that will get Wisconsin back on track. And they said that they were in the hamburger parade in Seymour, Wisconsin. And they said that they had gone from Kenosha, quote, Kenosha to Janesville to Milwaukee, but Michaels himself was not there. When contacted Saturday and Sunday by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a Michaels campaign advisor did not answer when asked if Michaels himself was campaigning. Monday afternoon, the campaign issued a statement when asked about the candidate's whereabouts. Quote, following a well-fought primary, Tim has spent time focusing on building the broadest and widest campaign for the general election by bringing people together, planning out strategies, and expanding staff, said campaign advisor Chris Walker. Noticeably, Tim Michaels' location or where his whereabouts were over the weekend were not shared in that statement. I think the candidate should have to answer. Was he in Connecticut doing that expanding of the campaign remotely, or was he here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and either he answers or, like, you sort of suffer the consequences of being ingenuine. I don't know. It's not a big deal, Tim.
I think it's a big deal.
Well, sure, but I mean,
I think that if you win the Wisconsin primary for governor on a Tuesday, you should not be flying home to your Connecticut or New York mansions that same weekend after winning that primary.
We don't want to spook him, though. You know, we'd like him to make a fool out of himself tomorrow, too. So, Tim, it's okay, buddy.
There's 12 more weeks of this, Evan. I think there's plenty of time for that. But I think in this first week off the starting block from winning the Republican primary for the gubernatorial primary here in the state of Wisconsin, he should have to answer whether or not he flew back to Connecticut. I think it's important. I think if I was a Republican voter, I'd want to know, are you telling me that you are committed to here in Wisconsin and growing that campaign like you say? Or did you fly back home to Connecticut? Because it's very interesting to see that just wasn't answered. It wasn't in the statement. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. Tim Michaels, missing in action when it comes to public appearances here in Wisconsin the week following his win of the Republican gubernatorial primary. And Evan, I don't know if you saw the photos. His one public appearance was a pretty interesting public appearance because he looked like a fish out of water at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Cameras aren't kind. Microphones aren't kind to this man.
Well, I mean, it's fine when he's got a millions of dollars to be able to throw it in an ad campaign and get behind the truck.
Do
and,
it
you
in
know,
40 takes, yeah.
Yeah, there's no way to know how many takes it took, Evan, but I have a feeling it probably took a few. It takes a while. You had to have advisors tell you that those mutton chops that you grew out for the videos had to have been like weeks of those aren't just glued onto the side of his face. I can't imagine. I think he did at least the work of growing out
they
the
facial
hair. They
were very convincing.
Extremely convincing. And then they just disappear when he's got to go do more public appearances. Weird. Maybe we've gotten to the bottom of it, Evan. Maybe he's in private growing out the facial hair for the next round of campaign ads.
Yeah, he's got continuity experts on staff. You know, they got a... Yeah, it's all about continuity.
It's all about continuity. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. Tim Michaels, fish out of water at the Wisconsin State Fair. Him and... I believe it was Roger Roth and Tommy Thompson. Roger Roth is running as lieutenant governor, running mate with Michaels on the ticket. Tommy Thompson, there was one other Republican, and I can't recall who. I believe it was Eric Toney, Republican candidate for attorney general. The four of them appeared last Thursday. Only public appearance by Tim Michaels in the last week. And they looked just like they were all wearing the same colored shirt. And just different variations of the same pants, and definitely outfits that you don't wear to the Wisconsin State Fair. Like, let's do this. I was skeptical, but we got a caller on the phone line. Let's go over to CJ down in Stoughton or Madison or wherever you're calling from. CJ, what's on your mind today?
Well, I just love. Thanks for taking my call, by the way. I love how your guys fork. Yeah, you know, you focus on our future governor's itinerary.
I haven't talked about Tony Evers yet today.
It amazes me. It amazes. What's that?
I haven't talked about Tony Evers yet today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I bet your Racine and Kenosha people really missed him when they needed him.
Yeah. Did you listen to yesterday's show, CJ? Because we talked about it. There was actually outside instigators from St. Paul, Minnesota. Federally charged for plotting and planning the arson and looting of CVS, a Citgo station, and a bar. So, again, Tony Evers, he's not a fortune teller. He can't tell that bad actors are coming from out of state to do that. But I think he handled the situation as it unfolded as best as a governor could. He sent in the National Guard. And appreciate your phone call, CJ. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We've got more Wisconsin headlines coming up after the break. We'll be right back. Tangents with Luke and Brian. This is one of those earworms is stuck in my head, that bass line.
Yeah, man. No. You know what? I'm going to learn this one just for you.
Yeah?
Just for you,
Luke. Appreciate that, man.
Just real quick here, we've got a listener with a, you know, pretty cogent point. Catherine Penzack, always with the cogents, says, "Hi, Luke. I was just thinking maybe Michaels is a political genius, realizing that the less voters see of him, the better his chances." You know what? That's kind of, yeah, wow.
Political genius is one way to put that, I guess, Catherine. I appreciate you texting in, Catherine, and appreciate you reading her text, Evan. It's definitely an interesting political strategy, I guess. I don't know. I am, maybe you could call me an originalist on this point.
This is the radio station you were looking for. Devil Radio 92.7. It surrounds it.
We're back. Disregard.
Sorry,
we don't know what's going on.
Sorry about
there.
That, folks. You know, we're growing pains. We've gone from one station to two stations to four stations in the last couple of weeks. So apologize for those growing pains. But as I was saying, you can consider me an originalist. If you are running for governor in a state, you should reside in that state and probably be in that state for every single day of your candidacy. And maybe if you... outside things. I know a lot of these races all of a sudden become nationalized. You got a lot of candidates that have to go, say, do a fundraiser in Chicago or LA, New York, or so I can understand maybe a handful of days out of the state. But Tim Michaels, if he in fact just flew back to Connecticut the weekend following winning the GOP's gubernatorial primary, I don't think that's good politics. Maybe, maybe, as Catherine's alluding to, if the voters see less of him, that's better for his chances. And as Evan has pointed out, yeah, he's not necessarily that great when you get him in front of the microphone and start asking him questions. So it truly could be an aspect of the campaign strategy for the Michaels team. But it is also indicates to me that there's not a whole lot there to defend the guy when a conservative troll like CJ calls in, and instead of talking about the whereabouts of his candidate for who he's voting for this November, he just immediately pivots to a talking point that we refuted here on this show yesterday. So it's interesting that that's the framing that they want to put the campaign in. But with Tim Michaels just disappearing, I have a feeling that's going to draw the conversation more towards that anyways then. So appreciate the text. You can be like Catherine. You can send us a text or give us a call. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but that's okay because we got Evan on the board and a ton of Wisconsin headlines that we want to dive into. So outside of Tim Michaels going MIA, we know that there is a lingering dynamic from the Gableman I word. I'm not going to say the I word because I don't believe it was an I word.
It's not what it was.
It's not what it was. It's a charade. I think charade is the best describer that I could use for what Gableman had done over the last 14 months here in the state of Wisconsin. Charade is probably the nicest way that I can put it as well, but he is no longer on the Wisconsin taxpayers' dime. He was let go by a letter. I guess I don't know if he's read the letter yet. I'd be interested to know if the letter was emailed to him, so it was kind of an immediate thing. Voss was able to get off the hook. It wasn't a phone call. They haven't talked much this past month. Sounds like within the last month they had talked, according to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. But Voss and Gableman had a souring of their relationship. And so Gableman got fired last Friday, or at least the letter was sent out last Friday, after Voss quickly was able to figure out that he had the votes to oust him. And it was interesting to me, Evan, because I believe Voss wanted to fire Gableman 1 week ago, Tuesday night.
I'm going to go ahead and say longer than that. It's been...
Oh, no, yeah.
Sure, no. Okay, I understand what you mean.
Yeah. But immediately, he's probably been hoping that Gableman would disappear quietly in the night, which I don't know why you would expect that. No indication over the last 14 months signaled that would be the case, that Gableman would just go out with a whimper. Voss is hoping that that's the case. But last Tuesday night, he was popping bottles of champagne, even though he only eked out an election victory against a nobody in the Republican primary for the 63rd district by less than 300 votes. And he had some very pungent words to say about Gableman at that time. But I believe the reason he didn't just fire Gableman on the spot was because deep down, Robin Voss was scared. He was scared that he didn't have the votes in his caucus. He needed to leave it up to a caucus to meet together with the members of his caucus to find out where he stood. In the back of his mind, he didn't know if he had the ability to fire him on the spot last Tuesday night. That is why I believe that his comments on Tuesday, leaving his campaign reelection party, were to say that, oh, we're going to meet with the caucus and we're going to find out. And then he walked back his harsh statements from Tuesday night on Wednesday morning last week. But then came together, and by Friday, Voss had talked to enough of his members that he felt confident he could do it. Did not have that caucus meeting that was originally scheduled for today to determine Michael Gableman's fate here in the state of Wisconsin. And so Gableman's been fired, but that doesn't mean that the work that he was trying to do, the charade that he was trying to promote here in the state of Wisconsin, is gone as well. And this is going to be a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal and written by Mitchell Schmidt. Questions linger over 2020 election review following Michael Gableman's firing. Again, I appreciate that Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal didn't call it the I word either. More and more reporters, outlets, not calling it the I word because the I word is not what it was. Review is still probably that might be the kindest way to put it. But it's definitely a charade. It's definitely a blunder. And it's not done yet. And we're going to dive into a little bit more of that aftermath here in this upcoming break, as well as your phone calls. Excuse me. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be right back.
Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will remember me.
Two Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but that's okay. We got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789.
My eyeliner is coming in as we speak, man. My fingernails are turning black.
Hey, man, I was a Fall Out Boy fan all, like, this was, I believe, from Under the Cork Tree.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Fall Out Boy's second album was the first album that I ever purchased as a kid.
Sure.
I got to, forget what it was. It was, like, something related to school. You, like, sold all the stuff.
Yeah.
And you got the, yeah, so I got that as a credit, and I went and bought the album, and it was great. Much played throughout cars in high school and everything as well. So I've seen them in concert. One of the best live groups that I've seen.
Oh, without a doubt, man.
Like I think I was only like 14 or 15 years old when my older brother first took me to
Warped Tour, dude. It was
no. This was at the Eagles Ballroom.
Okay.
In the rave.
So it sounded terrible, but no. I bet it was excellent.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was it was Hey Monday. All Time Low and Fall Out Boy.
Did you go to that Cage show and like what? I don't know. Oh, it'd been like 2007. Cage the Elephant over at.
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Man, we could have been in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, almost. But this first concert, like I didn't know what to expect. And at the rave, it's all just a giant open floor, and there's a lot of mosh pit and stuff like that. And I was young, and I did not stay hydrated, and so like I almost passed out from dehydration. I think
that place gets hot.
Yeah, it was very hot, and Fall Out Boy was the last act, and I had to like leave and come back, and I was surprised that I was able to find, because I was still towards the front. My older brother had to have been, I don't know, 18, 19, 20 years old at the time. And so I just had to find him and his friend. Luckily, he's got a friend that's like 6.5 feet tall and sticks out like a sore thumb when you're in a crowd full of people. It's really easy to find my brother that way with his friends. But folks, you are listening. We go on tangents sometimes here at Dueling Tangents. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM in Wausau, and locally grown radio 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. We're talking about the remnants of the Gableman charade. But before we dive back into that story, going to head over to the phone lines. We got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what is on your mind today?
Well, maybe Underground Michaels, maybe he thinks he can annex the state of Wisconsin into Connecticut or something along those lines. I don't know. As much time as he spends there, not here.
I don't know if he's going to annex us over there, but I have a feeling that he's going to want to move the governor's mansion at the very least if he wins.
Probably. But the other thing with him is, you know, he kind of maybe learned this from that really tough guy that stood up to the crowds unintimidated from down in the steam tunnels, Scott Walker.
Yeah, you know,
I'm in the steam tunnels.
These guys are really something. And yet Walker, I mean, Clayfish is down with the guy right away. I mean, there's no hard feelings there. So why isn't he out on the trail with her? Or why isn't he out on the trail with Trump? Oh, that's right. He scrubbed him from all of his stuff. And yeah,
he put him back though after he scrubbed him. So it was
people called him out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, they're still deciding of how to play the Trump endorsement. It's an interesting. Maybe that is what it is, Dick. Maybe they're licking their wounds, trying to figure out some strategy around how to appeal like a moderate after being endorsed and running as a Trump endorsed candidate in the primary.
Yeah, that could be it too. And then you know, with him too, he just everything across the board is just kind of weird about him, I think, but you know, hopefully. It doesn't work, but my goodness, this not being in sight for what, a week now? That was a week ago. And then
a week ago he made one public appearance at the Wisconsin State Fair on Thursday. I don't know how long he was even there, though, Dick. He might have been, you know, heading back. He went to Milwaukee or went to West Allis where the state fair is held and then hopped on a plane shortly thereafter on Thursday.
I bet he had a chopper sitting on the grassy knoll behind the stage. He was ready to bounce.
No, that thing's full of cars all parked at the Milwaukee Mile there. Appreciate the call, Dick. You have a great rest of your day. You can be like Dick. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. It's definitely an interesting dynamic. I don't know if the scary part is that it could work here in the state of Wisconsin. It could. It being out of sight, not doing a whole lot of public campaign events, but spending a lot of money on, because we're going to expect that. The money is going to be spent in this general election. There is going to be a ton of it spent on digital, on television, on radio ads. Like, those are all going to be places where Tim Michaels can use his wealth to be able to put a message out there, trim it down to 30 seconds to maybe a minute of him either clean-cut shaven or not clean-cut shaven, driving around a truck, walking through crowds, things of that nature. Very polished image that he can just put out there and not have to go on that many campaign events and potentially still win. I don't think that it's a good political strategy. I don't. It seems more out of touch than just the fact that you spend half your days in Connecticut, or excuse me, 182 instead of the 183 days in Connecticut, or whatever the Tim Michaels campaign is going to tell us, his residency. However, they're going to answer that residency question. But it's definitely interesting. And he's an empty suit, Dick. That's what it comes down to. He is an empty suit that he wants you to be able to project whatever your views of what you want Tim Michaels to be as a candidate onto him. And he wants to do as little work as possible. And it's either because he's running scared, or he's lazy, or he just doesn't know how to run as a moderate when he was endorsed by Trump in the primary and he hasn't really nailed down concise policy views on a number of issues. And he's flip-flopped throughout the primary, and we don't really know where the guy stands because he's not out in public talking to the public about these things. So appreciate the call, Dick. You can be like Dick. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. You're listening on the Civic Media Network, Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, that's 98.9 FM, as well as locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM. But back to the other story that I want to get to is the lingering aspect of Michael Gableman's charade. Now that he has been fired. And the interesting aspect is there are still a number of court cases that were being pursued by the Office of Special Counsel before Gableman was fired. So we got a writing by Mitchell Schmidt over at the Wisconsin State Journal. While taking oral arguments in one of four open records cases filed by liberal watchdog group American Oversight against the review that had up until Friday been headed by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Frank Remington noted the numerous, quote, gaps in information pertaining to the review, including how Gableman searched for requested records and the identity of a still unknown staffer employed by the office last year. Gableman was fired from the review on Friday. So we still don't know the entire team that Gableman had working for him last year. We don't know the mishandling of records that should have been kept. There have been calls by Democratic state lawmakers to audit this charade over the last 14 months. And I fear that that audit's not going to be possible, not because of the political will not being there. The Republican legislature would have to sign off on it. It's not even going to be possible because I don't know how many records actually exist.
The data isn't there anymore. It's not there.
It's insane to think that this guy...
$1 million unaccounted for.
More than $1 million.
Yeah, more unaccounted for.
When all is said and done, I don't think it's that obscene to say that we're going to be anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million on this whole thing.
Easy.
It's going to... There are still numerous court cases that need to be cleaned up, attorney's fees that need to be paid, Like the attorneys working on those cases for both American Oversight, the watchdog group that was seeking these open records, and for Gableman got to pick out his own lawyer and was paying him $450 an hour to represent Gableman in these open records lawsuits that he was getting his clock cleaned in because he didn't keep the records. How did Robin Voss just be like, oh yeah, you can spend up to $450 per hour on an attorney to represent you in these cases? How is...
At this point, you're going to have to convince me that records exist at all. I believe the only work he did was heading down to that convalescent home.
We've seen receipts, so we know that he actually
spent money.
Well, yeah. We know that there's been and it took a couple months for him to be able to even set up an office in Brookfield, and then that was thrown into chaos as well, and so we know that where some of the money was going to be spent or was spent, but we're not ever going to be able to account for the total cost of this circus, because Robin Voss allowed it to get to this point. Like, yes, there is a certain amount of blame that you can put on Gableman just for being a buffoon, but for greenlighting that to happen for 14 months after publicly seeing what Gableman was doing, Robin Voss allowed it to happen until it was no longer politically feasible for him to continue it to happen. Like, that is what it comes down to. Robin Voss was okay with everything Gableman was doing up to the point where Gableman endorsed Voss's primary opponent and Voss nearly lost. That was the deal breaker. None of the other aspects of what Gableman did got him fired, which would have been fireable offenses for any one of us. If
borderline
anybody acted,
fraud. I mean, borderline criminal.
Yeah. If anyone listening to this show right now went into their workplace and acted in accordance the way that Michael Gableman acted over the last 14 months, you would have been referred to for criminal charges by your employer. It would have just, you would have been easily referred to a local district attorney, local prosecutors for fraud. And Robin Voss was A-okay with all of that until all of a sudden, politically, it didn't make sense for him anymore. Well, not even that it didn't make sense anymore, because he's still pursuing the big lie. He's still pursuing these like restrictions on voting here in the state of Wisconsin. He's just not going to do it with Gableman anymore. Gableman won't be the vehicle because he endorsed Voss's primary opponent. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got to head back to the phone lines. Got our friend Andy up in Beaver Dam calling in. Andy, what's on your mind today?
Well, as to the Gableman fiasco, the citizens or the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin became victims again, with over $1 million spent on a wild goose chase or the big lie. And I don't know really how, I don't know what you do with that. You know, I mean, there won't be any consequences evidently to that, I don't think, and so forth. The other thing I wanted to mention, Luke, off air, Evan and I were talking about the Eagles ballroom, the rave, and you reiterated that when you were 15, you lost your brother in the floor, and I remember I was down there to see George Clinton in 2009. And,
I remember that show. I didn't go, but I remember the show.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I'm into Funkadelic, but anyway. Standing on the floor, and you got to consider, I was standing on there for 4 hours, like everybody else, you know. And by the time I got out, I thought, oh my God, I'm exhausted here, you know.
Because, oh yeah.
But it, the venue is the sound in the place is probably not the best.
Not in the Eagles ballroom. The basement sounds really,
oh, yeah,
really
the basement,
good.
The basement's so much fun, but you got to catch a young and up-and-coming artist there. You can't necessarily go for a big name because that basement getting packed just gets insane. Appreciate the call, Andy. Yeah, the Eagles ballroom, any show at the rave, I would always have to... You'd hit up the Taco Bell on 27th Street on the way home.
Yeah.
You got to recharge, refuel, some late-night Taco Bell, and a Gatorade or two, because you had to recharge and get those electrolytes in.
Oh, yeah.
Rehydrate. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Appreciate the call, Andy. Yeah, it's we're never gonna know the aftermath or the total ramifications of the Gableman saga. We're not, because it was allowed to go on for this long. We're not gonna have all the receipts, because I don't think, like Evan said, I don't think they exist in a lot of the instances. So we're not gonna get a true tally. And again, as I talked about yesterday, there's not going to be legal liability for these Republicans doing these crazy things. There's political liability. They need to be held politically accountable at the ballot box. That is where the accountability will be had. This is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. To Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, but that's okay. We got plenty of stories to keep us company. And Evan on the board, you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And enough about Gableman. We don't know what's all going to exist and what's going to come out of it. I am hopeful that an audit will occur so we can get at least a recounting of the details and documents that are available to audit. But that's not going to be the whole thing. And then that's just what it is. Like I said, political liability is what could be done to hold these individuals accountable. But moving on to places where government can work and is working. Later today, if it has not already happened, I believe the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act is going to take place. Democrats pass it through Congress. President Joe Biden is going to sign it today. That is going to be a game changer when it comes to lowering prices for energy costs and healthcare costs here in Wisconsin and across the country. And it's amazing that it was able to get done. There was a lot of different iterations of that bill before it got to where it is today. And members of the Democratic Party working tirelessly throughout these first 2 years of Joe Biden's term to get as much done as they have is tremendous. And so that's going to be signed later today. But here in Wisconsin, we've also got instances of both federal and local issues where we can see governments working. Got a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Over 4,400 calls flooded into Wisconsin's new 988 crisis line in the first month, and most calls peaking at lunchtime. So this is the new 988 number. Used to be the suicide prevention hotline. It was a 844 number that you had to call. It was 10 digits long. Not the easiest thing to remember. And thanks to work done by Wisconsin's own U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, the 988 number is now a 3-digit number that you can call nationwide to receive mental health support in time of crisis, in times of just needing somebody to talk to. It exists as a resource, and more than 4,400 calls have already it kicked off 1 month ago. And in the first month of its use, saw that volume of calls, showing that it's a resource that Wisconsinites need. And it's in part because of Senator Tammy Baldwin realizing that mental health support is something that needed to be addressed. Having a 10-digit number was not the best. And so getting the 988 crisis line up and running, transformative for being able for first responders to be able to respond to mental health crises here in Wisconsin. Reading a little bit from this piece over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Natalie Eibert. Wisconsin's new 988 crisis line received over 4,400 calls in its first month of operation, hundreds more than the monthly dial-ins to the previous hotline. Calls coming in to the Wisconsin Lifeline, a national suicide prevention lifeline call center associated with family services, demonstrate the growing need for such emergency counseling, according to Caroline Crehan-Newman, crisis services coordinator with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. That number aligned with our expectations and continues to fuel optimism about this line being valuable to Wisconsinites. Prior to 988 launching, Wisconsin Lifeline shared a 10-digit number with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Mental health coordinators in Wisconsin are already seeing what a difference 7 fewer digits can make for people in the face of a crisis. The line's 4,421 calls last month were about 500 more than the hotline received in June and about 1,000 more than calls in April, according to Crehan Newman. That is huge. That is government working in the way to be able to provide this resource and these call centers for people that need support when they need it most. And so I want to thank U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and the other senators that worked on that bipartisan effort to get that 988 consolidated number to be, it was a 3-year process, 3 years in the making to get that done. And jumping over to another local issue of government working, this time at this Wisconsin State Journal, Dane County gun buyback nets 577 weapons. What?
Dude, we will get so many guns off the street just doing this. People are destitute. People need money.
It's not that they need money. They just need resources as
well.
Yeah,
because a lot of times it's not even cash. It's like gas cards and stuff.
No, I believe gas cards was one of the options, but a lot of times it's grocery cards,
yep.
Evan. This is a program implemented here in Dane County. And so it happened this last Saturday. Participants at Saturday's Gift Cards for Guns buyback at the Alliant Energy Center surrendered 577 weapons, with more than half of them rifles and shotguns, during the 4-hour event, Sheriff Calvin Barrett said Tuesday. All of them will be destroyed, he said. None were found after serial number checks to have been stolen weapons. The guns, which had to be functioning weapons, were exchanged for $43,380 in gift cards for gas and groceries. Most of the $45,500 that was available was supplied by Dane County, but $8,525 was donated by groups, businesses, and individuals, Barrett said. About $1,400 in gift cards was refused by some who turned in guns. So some people turned in the guns and didn't even want the funds.
Yeah, and that's like $100 a pop.
It varied. Depending on what gun, I don't know what the actual math would be on the average. I'd have to pull
works out to pretty close to that as an average.
Close. But you want to hear about crime. And you're going to hear a lot about it. Or not that you want to hear about it. You're going to hear a lot about crime. Sorry. Trying to formulate this
I'm a true
final
crime
point
junkie, dude.
Before. Yeah. I know you are. You come in listening to crime all the time, Evan. But you're going to hear a lot about crime between now and 12 weeks from today, the November election. And you're going to hear a lot of candidates, probably mostly on the Republican side, saying that not enough is being done to address crime in Wisconsin. You're going to hear what CJ's talking points were about Kenosha and Racine. You're going to hear a lot about the inability for our current leaders to address the rising crime problem. And that if you elect more Republicans, they will fix it. And I think it's important to point out that this was a Dane County program. It's happening in one of the most liberal county in the state of Wisconsin. And it is the most effective measure that I've heard to date to try to reduce gun violence here in Dane County. Evan's right. People are in need of resources. Whether it's gas to get to work, whether it's groceries to put food on their table, there needs to be more of these programs. If you're serious about reducing crime, programs like this should be scaled up and done across the state of Wisconsin. Because if you're telling me that 577 weapons, more than half of them rifles and shotguns, could be removed from the street for these funds, that is well worth money spent. And so you're going to hear a lot about how Republicans are going to reduce crime. You should ask them how they're going to do it. Because spending more money on police is great, but removing the weapons out of our community is even better. This has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.
Peace be with you.